Good evening. Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church to our Carols for All service, which will be immediately followed by our Watch Night service this evening. We are so delighted to have each and every one of you here with us tonight on this Christmas Eve as we prepare to celebrate yet again the birth of the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. Just a few short announcements first tonight. First of all, as you came in to the sanctuary this evening, we trust that you received a prayer card that will be used in the Watch Night service tonight. So if you did not receive one, please speak to the nice people at the front of the church and ask for one of those prayer cards. Also, please raise your hand if you did not receive a candle. Good. That's what I like to see. We'll also be using those in the Watch Night service tonight as well. As you depart from the Kirk tonight after the conclusion of the service, you'll see there's a plate by the front door on the left-hand side, and this year's chosen charity for the church is Samaritan's Purse. Now, if you've never heard of Samaritan's Purse, let me put it in context for you. Please raise your hand if you remember the floods of last January. Yeah. So Samaritan's Purse is a Christian response organization, and they were one of the groups that came to our area of Scotland to help out here in Kemnay and Kintore, Inverurie, Ballater, Bankery, and maybe even further beyond than that, in helping people get their houses cleaned up, damaged goods removed, things. And they were also on hand as counselors and chaplains to help people cope with the fallout from flood damage. And they do all sorts of disaster relief response work all around the United Kingdom, all around the world, and they are our chosen charity for this Christmas time, and your generosity for that cause as you depart from the Kirk is warmly appreciated. Also, just a reminder, tomorrow morning, Sunday, we will have Christmas Day service here in the church at 10 a.m., and all are most welcome to come along for that time of worship together as well. So, with those intimations shared, let us jump right into it with singing our first carol together, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Now, earlier today, my mind went back to this service last year and the stellar job I did telling jokes last year. And I reminded of the reception I received from those jokes last year. And in light of that reception, I'd like to make you an assurance that this year, I spent twice as long preparing the jokes. So I spent 10 minutes getting these jokes ready. So here's the first one. Why don't some couples go to the gym? Ask why. Why? Because some relationships don't work out. I think you'll like this one. What do you call a bald monster? A lockless monster. And now for our next carol. Oh, come and join the dance.
Back to me when Christ the Lord was born in Bethlehem. Okay? So try it again for the first one. Now listen to me, okay? Well, come and join the dance, it all began so long ago. Now you,
when Christ the Lord was born in Bethlehem.
And me, through all the years of darkness, still the dance goes on and on. Now you,
you know, he's stretching the songs out so I have less time to tell jokes. I know what you're doing, Jim Buchan. So, did you hear about the fellow whose whole left side was cut off? But it's okay. He's all right now. I love this service. You know, I thought that tonight might be a good night to tell a chemistry joke, but I know I won't get a reaction. Oh, I did. We now sing our next carol, and this is a slower, more contemplative carol, so I'll ask us to remain seated for this one as we sing together in the bleak midwinter. Recently, a friend of mine tried to annoy me with some really bad bird puns, but then I realized that toucan play at that game. Yesterday, I accidentally swallowed some food coloring. My GP says I'm okay, but I feel like I've died a little inside. Our next carol that we shall sing, see him lying on a bed of straw.
See him lying on a bed of straw, the draft is in over the door.
Ever tried to eat a clock? I've heard it's very time consuming. The organist liked that one. I don't know about you, but I love to read. Right now I'm reading a book about anti-gravity and it's very hard to put down. Now, because you're so stunned by how good that joke was, we'll remain seated for the next song as we sing together This Child.
This Child.
Now the gloves are off. On my way to this service tonight, something terrible happened. This we ask, what happened? A man came and assaulted me with milk, with cream and butter. How dare he? What's the difference between a nicely dressed man on a tricycle and a poorly dressed man on a bicycle? A tire. Ooh. Don't encourage me. Why don't you ever want to get into a fight with Peter Pan? Why? Because when he punches someone, they never land. Yeah, I know. Continue now in worship together with singing Once in Royal David's City. Got to get these last ones out of my system. I'm very sorry to say that a dear friend's bakery burned down just last night, and now his business is toast. I'm especially proud of this next one. Did you hear what happened to the butcher? He backed up into the meat grinder and got a little behind in his work. Yep. Did you hear about that terrible crime that happened in the parking garage? No? It was wrong on so many levels. Oh, goodness. And because I can't stay away from the topic, presidential election. question. If Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are in a boat and it capsizes, who will survive? America! Now saying our final carol of this part of the service, for unto us a child is born.
To us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. The Messiah, oh, to see him, to see him. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. The Messiah, oh, to sing and to see him brightly lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Welcome to our Watch Night service here at Kamenei Church. We begin tonight's Watch Night service in a spirit of anticipation, in a spirit of hope, in a spirit of joy. Because to us, for us, in us, this night, the Savior of the world is born. And so we sing together now as our first song, Joy to the World.
Thank you.
As you came into the sanctuary this evening, I trust that each of us received a prayer card. And that prayer will be our first prayer this evening of our watch night service. I will read the prayer aloud. I would invite each of us to join in for the last two lines of the prayer, the line that begins with glory to God in the highest heaven. So I'll start us off and we join in together on that prayer together. Let us pray. God with us, as we wait for the dawning of Christmas Day, as our souls long for your presence among us, let us remember Bethlehem in the midst of our celebrations, still occupied, still a place of division and fear. God with us, in whom there is neither Jew nor Gentile, in the land of Christ's birth, come to the hungry places, bringing hope. Come to the dark places, bringing justice. Come to the lonely places, bringing love. Come again in Bethlehem. Come in us and through us and even despite us, that all may join the angel's song, saying together, glory to God in the highest heaven. All hail, let there be joy. This evening's reading from Holy Scripture comes to us from the writings of the prophet Isaiah, from the 9th chapter, reading verses 2 through 7. Hear now the word of God. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen, and may God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word, and to him be the praise and the glory this Christmas Eve and forever. We continue now in worship together with singing our next song, O Come, Emmanuel.
Come, O come, Emmanuel. Our son, come to me, is strong.
Let us pray. Lord God, on this night, we stand on the cusp of redemption. We are here eagerly awaiting the good news of Emmanuel, God with us. Long ago in Bethlehem, angels and shepherds waited with bated breath for the birth of Jesus, who was and is salvation for the entire world. On this night, we pray that you will help each of us to hear and believe the Christmas story anew. Help us to open our hearts and our minds to the good news of the gospel, foretold by prophets and fulfilled by Jesus. We pray these things to you, Father, through the Son, in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Part of me finds it hard to believe that it's already time for Christmas again. Of course, in our hemisphere, Christmas always occurs near the darkest time of the year, near the longest night of the year. And we just passed through the longest night a couple short days ago. And so the good news of tonight, it's going to start getting brighter again, bit by bit. Praise the Lord for that. But here we are in the midst of the night, in the midst of the darkness. There are frequent references to darkness throughout the narrative of Scripture. I checked the other day, and the word darkness, as it's translated into English, is mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible, starting all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the first mention, when the writer of Genesis said, "And darkness was over the face of the deep." Now, I think the imagery of darkness brings many things to mind. Many people, children and adults alike, struggle with a fear of darkness. For many people, darkness can mean a loss of perspective and the onset of confusion. I think everyone at some point in their lives or another has had the experience of walking across a darkened room only to stumble or trip over something unexpected in their path. Has this ever happened to you before? Yes. Since last July, I have lost count of how many times I have tripped or nearly tripped over a particular Labrador named Benny, who seems to enjoy nothing more than sitting in the dark trying to trip his papa. But simply put, darkness often symbolizes the unknown, and the unknown creates fear. And the Israelites to whom Isaiah first addressed his words were more than a little acquainted with darkness and everything that that darkness entailed. And we look at the wider context surrounding this famous passage that we heard from Isaiah's writings. We hear about the prophecy of the invasion of Judah, the southern kingdom, by the Assyrian armies. And the reality of the darkness faced by God's people becomes even more clear to us. In the previous chapter in Isaiah 8, the prophet says, "They will look to the earth, but behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish. And they," the Israelites, God's people, "they will be thrust into thick darkness." Isaiah 8:22. But time and again, throughout the narrative of salvation, God has called his people back from the darkness to the light. And time and again, we see in the Bible that God's people strayed from the path. Even when they did seek to follow God's commands, his people did so with less than full hearts, with interests that were less than pure. So much of the history of the Hebrew people in the Old Testament can be summed up in that neat phrase, walking in darkness. But it was never an aimless walking. God was always there, even when he was not seen, guiding his people, bringing them back again and again, even in that darkness. Scripture tells us that even the darkness is as light to God. He was always there, ready and willing to call his people back into the light. And the darkness was not reserved for the world of the Bible. I think we know about the darkness in the world of today too, don't we? Sometimes we experience darkness on a personal level. Perhaps 2016 has been a time when we have lost a loved one. Perhaps it has been a time when we or someone we know was made redundant at work and was forced to embark on a new and unexpected career path. Perhaps the past year has had us battle with the darkness of depression, with the darkness of estranged family, or with the reality of getting older. Perhaps 2016 seems like a time when the land that we call home has had to do its own battle with darkness. Last June, the United Kingdom made the significant decision to leave the European Union. And now the complex work and the equally complex legal challenges to that work are in full swing. Now, some in the UK celebrate this decision to leave. But for others, the decision to leave feels very much like darkness. Perhaps 2016 seems like a time when the world outside of the UK was shrouded in darkness. Every time we turn on the news, it seems like the headlines are dominated by the ongoing civil war in Syria, with a catastrophic and unspeakable suffering of those who call Aleppo their home. Or, as Americans, Heather and I have watched as our home country has slogged through what many have called the dirtiest and ugliest presidential campaign in recent memory, which resulted in the election and elevation of the most holistically unqualified and dangerous person to ever hold the office of President of the United States. Thick darkness, indeed. Now, my work as a minister, I have often heard people say that the story of the gospel, the story of Christmas, is nothing more than pie in the sky, wishful thinking meant to guard our hearts from the harsh reality of the darkness of the world all around us. According to this view, it also follows that Christians are those who simply bury their heads in the sand, ignore the world around them, pretend that everything is fine and rosy when it really isn't. And this kind of cheap and mentally lazy stereotype of Christians has made deep inroads into both British and American culture. And now Christians are challenged to live in a manner that paints a different view, a vital view, of the faith that the New Testament tells us was handed down once and for all to the saints, Jude verse 3. And even the most cursory, fleeting glance through the Bible blows this false stereotype that I just listed to smithereens. It's remarkable to me that the Bible never once denies the reality of the darkness of the world, not even once. From start to finish, Genesis to Revelation, the pages of Scripture acknowledge the darkness of the world. But what the Bible does not do, and this is the key, it does not concede defeat to that same darkness. Consider again the words of Isaiah we have heard this night. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Every prophecy in the Bible has a double meaning. And what do I mean by this? I mean that these words of Isaiah had immediate meaning for those who first heard them. And they also have meaning for those of us who live after the time of Isaiah, including us here tonight. For the Jews who first heard these words of Isaiah, these words meant deliverance from the army of the Assyrians, a restoration of the line of warrior kings, the reestablishment of right worship of the Lord. In short, these words promised God's people a new golden age. For people since then and for us this night, the words of the prophet also offer the hope of deliverance, but not just deliverance for one people among many. The wider arc of the Bible makes it clear that these words of hope and restoration, which began with Israel, would be extended to the whole world in the birth of Jesus, who is Savior of the whole world. It's no coincidence, I think, that in his account of the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Matthew, the gospel writer, quoted tonight's words from Isaiah. That in Jesus Christ, in his birth, in his work, in his death, in his resurrection, new and lasting light has dawned. It's no coincidence either that the gospel writer John's favorite description of Jesus is as light. But not just any light. Jesus Christ is the light shining in the darkness. And John tells us that no amount of darkness, no matter how black, how thick, how lasting, can ever hope to extinguish the light that Jesus has brought into the world. No matter how lost our world might seem, no matter how dark it gets, the light of the world continues to shine. I am a night owl by nature. My lovely wife, Heather, is a morning bird. Because I am a night owl, it is often my responsibility to make sure our dog, Benny, has his before bed walk. It's a special time with my dog. I love walking Benny, especially on a cold, clear night. Midway through our walk, I often stop. He sits down and looks at me quizzically. And I take just a few moments to look up at the night sky. And I hope a cat doesn't come by and he takes off and drags me after him. And I find that one of the many perks of living in a village like Kemne, as opposed to maybe a larger city, is that it's easy to see what in the sky? The stars. I never fail to feel a sense of amazement and wonder at the beauty of the universe. In the middle of the night, the sky itself is pitch black. It is darkness. But each star in the sky gives us a twinkle of light, a sparkle of beauty in the midst of that darkness. And for me, the beauty of the stars is a reminder that the universe is an ordered place, ordered by God, that God is in control of all things. I keep that imagery of the stars in mind. We may know also that Jesus has many titles in the Bible, many grand titles: King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha, Omega, Son of God, Son of Man, the Lion of Judah, Prince of Peace. During a recent chat with Heather, she reminded me about the last words that Jesus himself speaks in the Bible, which come to us in the last chapter of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Those words, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David. I am the bright morning star." In the night sky, some stars burn brighter than others, but no star is brighter than the morning star. The morning star often appears between 2 and 3 o'clock at night, when the darkness is complete and the faintest sign of morning is not yet visible. So small that it threatens to vanish, that star seems unable to vanquish the overpowering darkness. Yet, when you see the morning star, you know that the night has been defeated. You know that the night is passing away. For the morning star pulls the morning in after it. My friends, Jesus Christ is the morning star of this night, of every night. He is the light shining in the darkness, the light that the darkness can never, ever extinguish. Even the deepest darkness must give way to the light. This night, the morning star has risen in the night sky. Just as the morning star pulls the morning in behind it, even more certainly does the Christ child, the true morning star, the Savior of the world, pull God's kingdom in with him. So glory to God. Hosanna in the highest. Salvation is born for us this night. Amen. We have heard Jesus is the true light of the world, the morning star forever shining in the darkness. As a symbol of the light that Jesus himself brings to us, we will light our candles during the singing of the next hymn. And when you receive your light, please tip your candle to the side to make it easier for the flame to catch. And the person sharing the flame, please keep your flame upright. And Heather and I will light our candles and then share the light with all. So we now sing together, stand and sing together, Silent Night.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Very good. Can carefully put our candles out now. And please be seated after you have. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for the story of Christmas, which we have heard again tonight. Thank you for the story of the birth of Jesus, which fills this Christmas season with joy, with hope, and with peace. As we prepare to celebrate Christmas with our families and friends, we pray you'll help us to remember those who have been displaced from their homes by violence and war, especially in Aleppo and throughout Syria. In the midst of presents and celebrations, in the midst of life's good things and blessings, help us to be truly thankful for everything that we have, and help us to truly share what we have with those who are around us. Help us to follow your perfect example, Lord, by caring for the poor and for the needy. We pray all of these things in the name of our Savior, whose birth is the dawn of redemption for the whole world. Amen. Now we prepare to rise and sing our closing carol. And what better carol to end with than Hark the Herald Angels Sing. May Jesus Christ, who by his holy incarnation draws together all things earthly and heavenly, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love this Christmas day and forevermore.
Good tidings we bring to you and